Today, on August 29th, we celebrate 125 years of ministry here at St. Catherine's. 125 years ago today, this location was founded as originally a mission church of St. Vincent Ferrer, built to serve primarily the Irish neighborhood around here. And it's been a good 125 years. That's what we're celebrating tonight, the blessings of all those years as a kind of inheritance given to us. Now, when you talk about a century and change of ministry here at St. Catherine's, there is, of course, the parish for which it was originally founded, the neighborhood. But alongside of it, and in many ways equally important here, is our ministry to the hospitals. Right, when St. Catherine's was founded here, there were no hospitals in the ministry, in the neighborhood. Those came later. New York Presbyterian, right across the street, came to the neighborhood in 1932. Memorial Sloan Kettering, across the other street, in 1936. Hospital for Special Surgery in 1955. There are many more in the neighborhood. And it's not an exaggeration to say that within a few blocks of here, there's more than 2,000 hospital beds. And this church has always served them and taken care of them. And it's a particularly beautiful thing to me that this parish, founded originally and still serving the neighborhood as a parish church, named after St. Catherine of Siena, who is the patron of those who care for the sick. In a real way, I think that she called these hospitals to her neighborhood, to be part of her church, so that she could watch over them again and anew. Now, when I think of our ministry here, this inheritance of a church and a legacy that we have, where my mind goes is to the images over the high altar. You see them on the reredos over there, right? There are three images of St. Catherine. In the middle, there is St. Catherine being mystically wed to Christ the bridegroom. St. Catherine, the bride, standing in a particular way for every Christian soul, the bride of Christ, the church which is the bride of Christ, meeting the bridegroom and receiving from him a ring. On the left panel, we have St. Catherine preaching and teaching and admonishing. She is in particular admonishing the cardinals of the church. During her time, there were many controversies. One of the major one was about the location of the Pope. The Pope had moved to Avignon in France because Rome was a little bit of a dump. And so he moved to Avignon, and St. Catherine was one of the instrumental people in getting him back where he belonged, which is perhaps another interesting connection to the hospitals. New York Presbyterian across the street, that building has many Gothic arches. It's modeled in part off of the papal palaces in Avignon. Take that as you will. And then on the right-hand image, we have a picture of St. Catherine and her death, right? The death of Catherine. And so we have these three moments of her life that are given to us every time we walk into this church. Her betrothal to Christ the bridegroom, her mission, her preaching of truth, and her death on the right. Perhaps this makes a particular connection to St. John the Baptist and his passion that we celebrate today, right? Because St. John the Baptist was the friend of the bridegroom, the one who announced the bridegroom's coming. And he certainly preached for truth and justice, as we heard in our opening prayer, starting off with preaching for the repentance of sins and the baptisms in the waters of the Jordan, finishing his life preaching truth and justice to Herod, and then ending his life, as we remember today in this memorial, in his passion, and in his martyrdom for preaching truth and justice. But I think we see in those three images from St. Catherine's life, that betrothal, that mission, and that death, we have a wonderful image for what it means to be here at St. Catherine of Siena Church. The legacy, the inheritance of ministry we have received. Because it starts just like it started with St. Catherine, in meeting Christ the bridegroom. It starts here in the Mass. You see, one of the other episodes of St. Catherine's life is connected to that betrothal. She received a new heart from the Lord. In fact, he took from her her own heart and left her without a heart for a number of days. And then, connected with this vision of being betrothed to Christ, Christ took out his heart and gave it to her, placed it within her breast. But what happens in the sacraments, in every confession that we make, in every Eucharist we receive, every Mass we attend, what has happened in our baptism, our confirmation, is that the Lord has made us his own. Right? As a bridegroom weds a bride. And not only in an exterior kind of way, he has made us his own by giving us his own heart. So that within our own breast may beat the sacred heart of Jesus. There's a reason that central image is the largest. That's the most important. That we meet the Lord here, and we know him, and we love him with his own love that he has first loved us. That's what this parish was founded for, to create a place for that to happen, to make a church for the sacraments to happen, so that we might always be able to go back to that wellspring of God's love and drink from it anew. And that flows wonderfully and naturally into the image on the left, the image of her mission, preaching truth and justice. And in particular in her life, admonishing those who needed to hear it. Now, it's my genuine hope and prayer and trust that this has happened in the church, in St. Catherine's, here in the pulpit, but also flowing out of here onto the streets. Right? Her preaching was not liturgical. It wasn't at Mass. It was elsewhere, and it was no less important because of that. Right, that she was able to go to the people in her life, always starting locally and building up from there, and tell them, remind them of who Jesus is and what he had done for them, and how they ought to act in return. Calling people back to that fount of salvation, which is Christ the bridegroom. Helping them to see that, even when they may not want to hear it. There's one anecdote which is perhaps a little silly, but I think illuminating. One of our older brothers was pastor here when Audrey Hepburn, of all people, came to visit. She had been doing her international aid and raising money, and the children in the school had done a particularly good job. It was their participation rates or the amount they had earned. Earned them a visit from her. And so she came, and she was very gracious. But along with her came an interviewer from 60 Minutes who was continually asking our brother to get the kids out of here. We need to do an interview. Our pastor, our brother, told him to shove it. Probably more graciously than that. He's a classier guy than me. Right? But the meaning was the same, right? And perhaps, yes, that's a silly anecdote. It's a small thing. But life is made of small things. And I hope that in our own way, going out from this church, having been in touch with the source of life and truth and justice, we are able to stand up in those small things. For what matters, for who matters. So we have St. Catherine in her betrothal, St. Catherine in her mission and in her preaching. And then on the right, we have the death of Catherine. Right, that image is brought to us too every time we come into this church. That the saints are blessed most of all, they are happy most of all, because they have died well and died in Christ. There's that old Latin maxim, call no man happy until he is dead. Right? And in the saints, that's fulfilled. Call no one happy until we have passed from this life, this veil of tears, to the next. And so we are given St. Catherine's death as a reminder of that, and also an example. She had a long, painful, drawn-out death. Right? It was filled with physical sufferings, but even more so with spiritual ones. There was a great spiritual warfare going on around her, in her heart and in her soul, between her and Christ on one side and the devil and his minions on the other. And often, she would call out and invoke the blood of Jesus, which cleanses the world. It's poured out upon her throughout her life, but especially in her final suffering, in her death, in her passing from this life. And so here in this parish, we have not only what happens in the church, and not only the mission and the preaching that comes out of it, but particularly a mission to the sick and to the dying, to those 2,000 hospital beds within a few blocks, bringing them, most of all, the sacraments, so that they may receive that new heart of Jesus and be strengthened for that final battle, bringing them encouragement, bringing them the prayers of this church. Right? We have our prayer book right here underneath the crucifix, where we can write down and pray for those particular intentions. We have our holy hour every Thursday night where we offer it for the sick and for the dying and for their families. We have our intentions at every Sunday Mass, praying for those in those hospital beds, knowing too that they are no different from us, that if we're not there now, we will be someday, just as St. Catherine was, just as John the Baptist was, just as Jesus Christ was. That our life is perfected and fulfilled when it ends. Because when it ends, it has just begun. Our life has changed but not ended. And we are challenged by St. Catherine to believe that and to live that. And when we do believe that and live that, that reverberates backwards throughout the rest of our life. Think of St. Catherine admonishing the cardinals of the church. How much easier that is when you know that this life is a short and passing thing and that God has stored up an eternal weight of glory for us. Think of how much easier it is to stand up for the faith, to proclaim truth and justice, and to stand up for the smallest and the weakest among us, when you know that whatever cost you pay is of no weight compared to the glories that God has prepared. Think too of that betrothal of St. Catherine, that image she had, that passing vision of heaven, of Christ the bridegroom and the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb. She carried that within her heart. From that moment, her whole life, before and after that, until her very death, when she went to meet the Lord face to face, finding there, and only there, the fulfillment of all that she had hoped for. So, my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate today 125 years of this mission here at St. Catherine's Church, we can always turn to St. Catherine to tell us what it's all about. And in particular, every time we walk into this church, we see what it's about. We see the bridegroom, wedding Saint Catherine, just as he comes to each of us in every sacrament, in every Eucharist, in every confession. We see an example of what it means to preach boldly truth and justice and charity, leading people to meet Christ the bridegroom who came for them too. We see the example of what it is all heading towards, which cannot be painted. Right? We see that example of the death of Saint Catherine, showing us that our life is fulfilled then, because then it is that we will meet the Lord face to face, the answer to all of our desires, and particularly to the desires of that new heart that he has given us. My brothers and sisters, let us give thanks for Saint Catherine as our patroness, for the many graces that we have been given through her here in this church, in this location. Let us ask her to continue to pray for us, to protect us, to lead us ever more to Christ the bridegroom, so that for many years forward, this will continue to be a place where God comes to his people, where his people are sent to the world, and where we are prepared to meet the Lord when we pass from this life to see him face to face.